Good morning. Good to see everybody here. It's good to be in the Lord's house and be of God's people. Paula was able to talk with Art and Denise on Friday. They called the house. They are in the capital city of Chad, and they did want to send their greetings, their love to everybody here at Calvary Baptist Church. He tried to call the church, and the phone kept ringing, and I kept hanging up because there was nobody there, and he tried to talk to me, but was not able to at the church. I usually think it's a telemarketer. If I say hello and there's no response, I hang up. But anyhow, Paula did talk with Art and Denise, and they're doing well, and send their love to all of you. Let's open a word of prayer for God's message. Father, it is good to be in your house. And Father, we do sing that worthy is the Lamb. And Lord, we just pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified and lifted up in our services, in our preaching of his word. And Father, I just ask that your spirit would open up our eyes and our hearts to your word and to your truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I honestly believe every person has a desire deep down to have a life that has meaning and purpose. Nobody wants to come to the end of their life and say, I've wasted it. Nobody here wants to spend their life like a dripping faucet that just dribbles away, and you come to the end of your life and you're maybe in your 80s and you're in a nursing home, and you look back upon your life and say, I've accomplished nothing. I've had zero impact. There's been no meaning, no purpose for my life. I don't think anybody here wants to live that kind of life. We all are looking for meaning and purpose in life. Jeremiah said to the children of Israel, why do you pursue things that are worthless and become worthless? That it's altogether possible to spend your life pursuing worthless things and to come to the end of your life and realize it has all been in vain, worthless. So Jeremiah warns us, don't go down a path where you pursue worthless things and become worthless. But where do you go? Where do you go to find meaning and purpose in life? The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number one, is what is the chief end of man? Answer: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What the Westminster Shorter Catechism is saying is, what is the meaning and purpose of life? Why are we here? It answers, we are here to give glory and honor to God, and to enjoy him forever. Now, is that your life? You are here to bring glory to God, and you are here to enjoy God. Are you enjoying God? Do you get up in the morning and you're just thrilled that you have a relationship with the living God, and you can't wait to open up his word and have him speak to you, and to go for walks and talk to your Heavenly Father, and you enjoy his presence every day? What's the meaning and purpose of our lives? And where do you find the meaning and purpose to your lives? If we are to live for the glory of God and to enjoy God, how do we do that? How do you work that out? I believe that many years ago, I honestly believe God taught me something, and I give him the credit. This was not something that I figured out. This was not something that I reasoned among myself. It was just something where he just opened my eyes to see it. And it was this. I was in my 20s, struggling with God's will for my life. And at that time, I don't know if they still have these. They used to have these events for college students down in Urbana, Illinois. Do they still have those? Okay. They used to be called like Urbana 88 and Urbana 90, and it was usually every 2 years or every 4 years. I forgot now. But the purpose of these meetings in Urbana was to minister to college students. It was put on by, InterVarsity, I believe InterVarsity, a Christian organization geared for college students. And so what they would do is they'd gather all these college students together, and the focus of Urbana was usually to challenge college students to become missionaries and to go to a foreign mission field and to serve the Lord. And that is wonderful. If God is calling you to be a missionary and to serve Him in a foreign country where the gospel has never been preached, go. If that's where God's calling you, that is a marvelous calling. But you know, I was struggling with God's will for my life and thinking about, you know, Urbana. I never went there, but I heard a lot of things and read some things about the conferences. But you know, something dawned on me, and I think God revealed it to me. I was here at Calvary, and I think Tim Wills was preaching some messages on the importance of the local church. And it dawned on me, you know what God's will is for 99% of us Christians? No matter where you live, whether it's in Elgin or Dallas, Texas, or Seattle, Washington, or Paris, France, or Phnom Penh, Cambodia, if you're a Christian, you know what God's will for your life is? To serve Him in a local church. To find out the church that God has called you to, find the gifts that God has given you, and minister those gifts to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the will for 99% of Christians, and almost I would say 100%, because even if you're a missionary and you go to a foreign field, you still want to establish a local church where you worship God and serve Him. Never dawn on you that God has placed His power and His authority in the local church? I was reading in Revelation chapters 1 and 2, and it's told there that John is on the island of Patmos because of the word of God, and he's walking on the Lord's day, and suddenly the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, appears to John. And he is clothed in white, his feet are like bronze, and his eyes are like flames of fire. And John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And then he walks over, and he puts his hand on John. He says, do not be afraid. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And he gives John this vision of seven golden lampstands, and Jesus walking among those seven golden lampstands. And we're told in Revelation, those seven golden lampstands are the churches in Asia Minor. Not one big church, but local churches. Golden lampstands. Gold is a symbol of purity. They're a lampstand. They are a light in the midst of the darkness. That's what Calvary Baptist Church is. We are a golden lampstand on the east side of Elgin for the glory of God. So if you're looking for meaning and purpose for your life, we are to live for the glory of God and enjoy Him forever. Where do you do that? You do that in a local church, because that's where God has placed His power and His authority, is in the local church. Now, there are four basic passages of Scripture I want us to look at this morning on spiritual gifts. There's only four basic passages of Scripture in all of the Bible that really deal with spiritual gifts. And I want us to read through these passages of Scripture. I want you to think about them, and then we're going to try to draw out just some basic principles. The first passage of Scripture is in Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. As we again think about spiritual gifts. Last week, I basically had only one point in my message, and that was that spiritual gifts have been given to the local church to strengthen brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let's see if that bears itself out in these passages of Scripture. Romans 12, 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, right there, we need to realize that there is a danger with spiritual gifts, a danger of superiority. I'm better than somebody else. Or there could be the danger of inferiority. The church doesn't need me. I'm nothing. So we need to be careful about our attitude about our spiritual gifts. So Paul begins, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sound or sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Okay, that's one passage of Scripture that deals with spiritual gifts. Think about that. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." In the Greek, the word gifts is not in there. What he really says is, "Now concerning spirituality, I want you not to be uninformed." I'm going to be talking to you about spirituality. And then verse 4, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterances of wisdom. To another, the utterances of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again to the head, to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it. There may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, they all suffer. If one member is honored, they all rejoice together. Now, if you are the body of Christ, individual members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. And then right there in the middle of this section on spiritual gifts, we have the love chapter. And begins to talk about how important love is in the body of Christ. And then turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us. He's not talking about the grace of salvation, but the grace of spiritual gifts. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led hosts a captive, and he gave gifts to men. And then verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So here in Ephesians, we're simply told that it's Jesus Christ who gives gifts to the church, and he gave some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, for the building up of the body of Christ. And then our last passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4. And as I said, these are the four main passages of Scripture that deal with spiritual gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Now take note, that's the setting. Life is short. This thing is coming to an end. How should we live? How should we behave? The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Those are the four basic passages of Scripture that deal with spiritual gifts. Go home and read through those and try to understand what God is saying to us about spiritual gifts. Now, my first point this morning is, if you're looking for meaning and purpose for life, find the local church that God has called you to, find the gifts that you've been given, and serve one another to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, here's my second point. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. There is only one king. There is only one head of the church, and that's Jesus. The Pope is not the head of the church. No man, no woman has ever been the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he is the one who gives gifts to the church as he wills. In other words, it's the Lord who decides where you're to be. Is the Lord who decides what you are to be, and is the Lord who decides what particular function you are to perform. Jesus is the head of the church, and he calls you to a local congregation, and he gives you gifts, and he gives you a place in which to carry out those gifts. Y'all believe in the doctrine of the call? You believe that God calls you to a church to serve him? How foreign that is today. Because here's how we choose churches today. I'm going to go around and shop around for churches that meet my needs. They need to have this, they need to have this, and they need to have this, and they need to have this. If they don't have all of these, then I'll go to the next church. Because I'm looking for a church that's going to meet my needs. How different that is from feeling like God has called me to this church. And maybe it only has one and two, but maybe three and four is something he wants me to get involved in. Maybe that church has some weaknesses there, but God's calling you to meet that weakness. But oh my, You talk to Christians today, and they've already got it outlined exactly what they're looking for in a church. Do you believe God calls you to a church? Or is that something you just decide on your own, what pleases you? Paul says Jesus is the head of the church, and he believes in local churches. There wasn't just one church in Asia Minor. John saw seven golden lampstands, and he places each and every one of us in those golden lampstands for a purpose. So Jesus is the head. Second, every Christian has a spiritual gift. In 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. I don't believe there's any Christian here that has not received a gift from God. Every Christian has been given a spiritual gift to be used in the body of Christ to strengthen other Christians. And my challenge this morning to all of us is don't neglect that gift. Use it. Now, if you're involved in something and there's arguing and fighting and fussing and everything's falling apart, maybe you don't have that gift. You might need to look for somewhere else where God's serving you. We talked last week about looking around for somebody who is hurting and go to them, and there's something that you can say and something that you can do and it helps them, that might be your gift. But every Christian has been given a gift from God. Or to put it in another way, every Christian has a particular function in the church. Paul uses the analogy of the body. Every particular part of the body has a function. Whether it's your eyes or your ears or your arms and your hands and your fingernails and your legs and your feet and your toes, every part of the body, Paul says, has a function, a purpose. And every Christian has been given a gift to be used inside the body of Christ. Years ago, they did not know what the thyroid gland did. But now they know it performs a very important function. They're still trying to figure out what the appendix is there for. Sometimes you may not know exactly what that function is, but it's important to be there. And so it is with the body of Christ. There is no such thing as an unimportant Christian. We all have a gift that God's given to us, and we're to use it for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I'll use this analogy. You're thinking about a football game? Nobody's thinking about football today, are they? On a football team, everybody's got a job. Everybody's got a task. You know, there's one guy that it's his job just to hike the ball between his legs and give it to the quarterback. That's his job. And then to block. Just give the ball to the quarterback and block. And sometimes he hikes the ball, and there's this other guy. All he does is he catches the ball, lays it down, turns the laces, and lets this other guy kick it. That's all he does. He catches the ball, places it, and the guy kicks it. And nobody knows who this guy is. The kicker gets the praise. The holder, nobody knows who the holder is. But if he messes up, he's dirt. And then there's this other guy on the football field. All he does is kick the ball up between the uprights. That's his only job. If he's tackling folks, you're in trouble. And that's not what he's called for. But inside the football team, everybody's got a job. You got special teams, you got defense, you got offense, you got the quarterback, you got running backs. The same is true in the body of Christ. Well, I remember Philip Kramer, when he was here as our interim, brought up a golf bag. You know, every one of those clubs has got a purpose for being there. You don't tee off with the sand wedge. If you do, it's not going to go real far. There's a purpose for every one of those clubs. That's why you have a 7-iron and an 8-iron. They make the ball go further or shorter, depending on how you're playing the course. Every Christian has been given a spiritual gift by God. And it's our responsibility to find out what that gift is and to use it to strengthen our brothers. And then, third principle, there are various gifts. It says in Ephesians, he gave some to be pastors and teachers and evangelists. And we also need to note that there are certain offices in the church. There are elders and there are deacons and there are deaconesses and there are people who are called to serve in those offices. So in other words, if you come together and say, we don't want to have any offices in the church, we're going to have this free fellowship where we just all come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and worship God, you have an unbiblical principle. Because inside the church, Jesus Christ has appointed elders and deacons and deaconesses. And there's a lot of scriptures that talks about what kind of men you should put in those offices and what kind of honor you should grant to those men. And to be very careful about slandering and criticizing those men. Those are an office that God has appointed inside the church. But outside of those offices, there are various gifts that God has given to the church. In 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That word in the Greek, that varied grace, is a word that sometimes they use for marble, or it is used for tapestry. You think about this beautiful Persian rug that has been woven, and there's this beautiful pattern. That's what Peter's talking about, that inside the body of Christ, there are these varied graces of God. Or you think about a marble countertop. You look at a marble countertop, it's highly polished, and yet it's all interwoven with these fault lines and little chips of stone that sparkle. That's what Peter's talking about when he's talking about these varied graces of God. That inside the body of Christ, there are these varied graces. We don't all have the same gifts. Every Christian is unique. We're told that no two snowflakes are the same. And I believe that no two Christians are identical. He's given various gifts to us to be used and strengthened the body of Christ. You know, there are some who are called to be pastors. There are some called to be a Sunday school teacher. Some are called because they've got the gift of hospitality. Some have the gift of mercy. They just have a compassion for people who are down on their luck. And some people are just called to be warm and friendly and loving to people. You know, there's some people that come to church and they minister to people just by being their friend. And they get together with them and somebody is able to sit down and listen to them. And they're able to share their burdens with them. And they help people just by listening. Some of us who are always busy, talking, active, going here, going there, we miss those people. We can't help them. But there's some people in the body of Christ, they're not busy. They're not talking all the time. They're willing to sit down and to listen to people and help them. There are these varied graces that God has given to all of us inside the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, Paul gives us a picture of the church. And it's a picture of the church as this structure, this building that God is building. And he said we are being joined and fitted together. Paul's picture there is of a stone building that God is building. The church is not a brick building. In other words, Christianity is not everybody being exactly the same, just like a brick building. Every brick is the same size, the same color, and you got this brick wall, and there's no variations. That's not what Paul has in mind. And yet there's many churches that's all they do is they try to stamp out exactly the same kind of Christian. You got a white shirt on and a red tie, and you all carry a King James Bible, and we're all identical, and you got a bunch of clones walking around. That's not true Christianity. True Christianity is this variety and this diversity inside the body of Christ, where Paul pictures God is building this stone structure. You ever see a stone building? And you think about the Lord, he's got these pile of stone over here, and some are big, and some are little, and some are shaped funny, sizes and different colors. They don't all have the same color. And it's this idea that Jesus picks up this stone, he places it on the wall and sets it. And then he looks around to see another. Oh, this one will work. Picks up a small stone, and he wedges it in there underneath to support that big stone. And then he looks for another one, and he picks it up, and he chisels it away to make it fit on the back side. That's the picture that Paul's painting for us in Ephesians 4 of the church. The church is this wonderful stone building that God is building, where everybody's different. Some are big, some are small, some are different colors than others, but God has got this variety inside the body of Christ where he's building his church, and we're not a bunch of clones. We're all different. Did you ever think about God's creation and what a wonderful God he is and the variety that he's given to us? I went online this week, and I looked up birds. Do you know how many different species there are of birds? Anybody take a shot. How many species of birds do you think there are? Anyone? 2,500? 30,000? That's quite a few. A lot. They're told 10,000 species of birds. Isn't that unbelievable? There's only 8 species of bears. I'm glad for that. I'm glad we don't have 10,000 species of bears. There's only 8. Only 8. But God is this wonderful God of variety. And in his creation, you know, he could have made all of us look exactly the same. You guys could all look like Scott Balance. Would that be something? Or you could all look like Paula Bunn. You know? But God didn't make us all the same. He made us all different. And that's what I want us to end with this morning, is to think about the church. If you're looking for meaning and purpose in your life, it's found in the local church, taking the gifts that God has given you and serving other Christians so that they can be strengthened in the faith. And that there's this great variety inside the body of Christ. I'm going to ask Lucy to just do a PowerPoint here and talk about and just let you see God's variety. I went on the internet and literally they said 10,000 species. There was this row after row of different kinds of birds. And they even put Larry Bird in there from the Celtics. But they had all these rows and rows of birds. And you think about God's creation, variety. What else we got, Lucy? Bears. There's only eight species of bears. But you think about God's creation, the variety of bears. What else? Ocean, fish. You love to go to the Shedd Aquarium? Not just one kind of fish, all kinds of fish that God has created. And then what else? Dogs. I wonder how many different species of dogs are there. Anybody know? I don't know. Hundreds? Hundreds. And what else? Cats. God's creation and the variety of cats. And then what else? People. No two the same. Inside the body of Christ, God has placed individual Christians and he's given us different gifts to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's have our closing hymn at this time.